This morning's reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 4, starting to read at verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. "What are we going to do with these men?" they asked. "Everybody living in Jerusalem knows that they have done an astounding miracle, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name." Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them, because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And may I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So this morning, we are continuing to look at the work of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, and how the person of the Holy Spirit works in our lives. And this morning, we're particularly focusing on when the Holy Spirit comes with words. Words are very powerful, aren't they? You've probably heard the maxim, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me." What complete rubbish. If you throw a stone at me, I might get a bruise, and it might hurt for a while, but the pain will go away. But if you tell me that I'm stupid, or worthless, or useless, and if you tell me that over and over again, then that will do lasting damage. Maybe we know that for ourselves, or we know people who've been spoken over negatively and who carry the scars of that forever. Words can hurt. Words are powerful. But words can also save. The obvious example would be if you were stood in the road and there was a car coming towards you, it was behind you, and a friend shouted to you, "Get out of the way, there's a car coming!" And you moved and the car came past, then the words would save you. The words can tell you and inform you that danger is coming and you can get out of the way. Words can save. Also, words can build up. I know that for as a parent of a toddler, that it's really important to give praise. So Ted, who's now 3, when he does something good, we'll say, "Well done, Ted. Good job." And we'll encourage him. And we'll try and build him up. We'll also tell him that we love him. So I'll say, "I love you, Ted." And what's really nice now is that now that his language is getting better, occasionally he'll say, "I love you, Daddy." That's when you know the power of words, isn't it? Just how powerful. It's just a few words, but they mean so much. Words are very powerful. So we're thinking about the Holy Spirit. We've thought about how the Holy Spirit comes in power, how the Holy Spirit comes to heal, and then in this morning's reading, we're thinking about how the Holy Spirit comes with words. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And whenever the Holy Spirit speaks, we hear God speak, because they're one and the same. They're three, but they're one. It's a mystery. So when the Holy Spirit speaks, God speaks. But what does God speak? What does God say? What is God trying to say to us? Well, I think God speaks primarily through this. And by this, I don't mean these pages and this bit of, I don't think it's even leather, fake leather. I mean by us reading this, but God speaks when we read this, when we begin to understand it in our minds and our hearts, and when we apply it to our lives, God speaks through Scripture, through the Bible. God also speaks primarily through Jesus. We can read about his life here in the Bible, but also we know that Jesus is alive, that he is alive, that he's with us by his Spirit, and he speaks to us through his Spirit. And I believe that God also speaks through the big story. So the big story that we have in here that actually ends with a time that is still to come. So the important thing about this story is that we are in this story. We are in the pages between sort of the last letters that Paul wrote to that early church and Revelation, when we hear about what will happen at the end of time in that bizarre pictorial language, but where we ultimately understand that the earth will be made new, that we will be resurrected as Jesus was resurrected. And so we find ourselves within this story that God speaks, a story about God and people. That's essentially what the Bible is, a story about God and people. And then the story about God speaking to us in the person of Jesus, saying, "This is who I am. This is who I am." And we read those stories. And then the church begins following his resurrection and sending his Holy Spirit. And he continues to speak today. So that's how God speaks. And in this morning's reading, we're told that Peter and John speak in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how it describes them speaking to these religious leaders, that it's done in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the context of what is happening here is following Jesus' resurrection. Jesus has risen from the dead, and he sent his Holy Spirit among those early believers. And this amazing healing happens that Peter and John are involved in, and now they begin to speak in power. And when they speak, the first thing they say is to say, "We haven't done this. It's not been done in our power. It's been done in the power of Jesus." So they begin to tell people about Jesus. So God speaks through them in these ways. First of all, they speak about Jesus. They're very quick to say that this is not us, but this is Jesus at work. They say, "It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." So they don't just mention the name of Jesus, they're filling in the story. This man who you crucified has actually now raised from the dead, and it's in that power that we are at work. So they speak about Jesus. Secondly, they speak with courage. At verse 13, we read that when they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished, and they took note. There was a real bravery to what they were saying, because these weren't very learned, educated men. They weren't professors or rabbis. But they had something inside of them that gave them the bravery and the courage to speak about this new revelation and this new truth. They spoke with courage rather than with intellect, it says. Thirdly, they spoke out of encounter. They were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. These men weren't just talking about something they'd heard of secondhand. They were talking about something they'd experienced personally. Later on in the passage, it says, "For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." They've been with Jesus. They'd heard him speak. They've been impacted by an encounter with Jesus. And that's how they speak. And finally, they speak through the Holy Spirit. In Matthew, Jesus tells us that this will happen. Matthew 10, verse 19 and 20. Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he's telling them about what's going to happen after his resurrection. He says, "When they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." We have the whole Trinity there in those couple of verses. This is Jesus speaking, Jesus the Son, speaking about the Father and how the Father will give the Spirit in order to give you the words to say. We have the whole Trinity at work there. And this is Jesus saying that when the time comes, when you're tested, when you have to stand up before people and you feel afraid, do not worry. For by my Holy Spirit, I will give you the words to say. Jesus is encouraging them. And he's saying, I'm going to speak through you. But so what? What difference does that make to us today? That was a long time ago. Well, I think the difference it makes is that we are part of that story, as I said earlier. We are in that Bible, in between the last letters of Paul and in between Revelation. We are the disciples, the followers of Jesus. And what was true for them is true for us. So if we follow Jesus, then these things are true for us. When we speak in Jesus' name, we speak about Jesus. We tell people the story of his resurrection, and we tell them about the difference it makes in our lives. We speak that story. And we speak with courage. Even though we might feel that we're not very intellectual, maybe we haven't got degrees in theology, maybe we don't feel very confident, we can speak with courage because we know we don't do it in our own power. I was reading about Tim Farron and how he has stepped down from being leader of the Liberal Democrats because he's really struggled with how to hold together his faith in Jesus and being in the political world. And as I saw him give that speech, I really felt for him because he's clearly tried to make it work and he's saying that he can't. But if you listen carefully, he's not saying it's impossible. He's not saying it's impossible to be a Christian and be a politician. He's just saying that he personally has found it hard to hold those things together. And there's loads of factors there, isn't there? There's the way that the media treats people of faith or treats people generally. The way that the media machine works mean that people often get, you know, chewed up and spat out, don't they? And he's a victim of that. But it's taken him real courage to speak about his faith. And we need courage to speak about our faith. We might find ourselves at work or in other contexts where it feels quite hard to say, yes, I'm a Christian, and to speak up for the ethics and the values and the morals that you believe in. But we need that courage, and we're told that the Holy Spirit will give us that courage. And it comes out of this third one, out speaking out of encounter. If we speak out of a dryness of thinking of just some head knowledge that we've been told by our vicar, that's not going to go very far. We need to encounter Jesus for ourselves. And when we share Jesus, we need to share it out of that encounter, out of meeting him in worship, maybe out of corporate worship, out of meeting him when we're alone at home and we're reading the Bible and we're feeling encouraged by what we hear or challenged by what we hear. Because Jesus will both challenge us and encourage us. He stretches us, he comforts us. He's on that journey with us. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter, but he's also the power of the Holy Spirit. The translation of that word power is courage. So he's going to take us to places where we're going to need courage. We've got both those things going on. But we must speak out of encounter. We must know Jesus for ourselves. It can't be second hand. And finally, we must speak via the Holy Spirit. We must ask to be filled and refilled with this Spirit of God that he's promised to place inside each one of us so that we can be his witnesses. Ultimately, when God speaks, he speaks love. For God is love. But it might be a different kind of love than maybe we're used to in the world, the kind of love that you find on Valentine's cards. It can be a love that really challenges power. It can be a love that challenges the status quo. It can be a love that reaches out to the poor and the needy when the world tells us that we need to look after ourselves. This is the message that Jesus speaks, and that's why we need encounter, why we need Jesus, and why we need courage. Amen.